Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website.
Welcome, everybody. I was also holding in a little attack. It happened to the best of us.
It's been a stressful day. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party. I'm DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star. And thank you so much for tuning in today. We are going to talk about the history of Riot Girl, seeing as we do tend to play some Riot Girl music or post-punk, female post-punk and punk as well. So we're just going to start it off with a quote.
Yes, so I found this about a week ago, thought it was pretty good, so decided to share it here. So it's, quote, "A woman's first blood doesn't come from her legs, but from biting her tongue," quote. And this is from Maggie Rover, and she's an American writer slash poet. I thought that was a pretty good quote. Kind of touches on for women wanting to speak up, but kind of feeling sneered at. And it also brings up mentioning menstruation for an early age as well, of wanting to speak up and just kind of being dismissed. So,
And it is the only reason that a woman or a girl might bite their tongue is because of this socialization that all of us are taught to be polite, convenient, just a people pleaser overall, which is something that I think a lot of women struggle with past menstruation through into adulthood, even in older age as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, usually men are the one who are able to kind of voice their thoughts, but more diminishing for women. But
it definitely does play into the dynamic of women just expecting to be subservient to men. Even we can see that with biting your tongue and refraining from stepping on anyone's toes, even in just a normal conversation as a child. So, yeah.
Anyways, yeah, this kind of tied in with the topic we're going to be broadly going over today, which is the kind of diving deeper into the history of the Riot Girl genre. And so we are going to start off with pretty classic Riot Girl song from the band Le Tigre.
Yeah.
Le Tigre? Yeah, I think I said it right. But we'll start with this, and it's called The Empty. And we'll be back to talk more after the break. So hope you enjoy.
Yeah. Tune in to Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. You are tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star. Welcome back, everyone, to our discussion that we're just going to kick off right now. We will be talking about Riot Girls and the history of Riot Girls, and with that comes some difficult topics as well, so I'm just going to put a content warning out there for you listening. If you don't feel comfortable listening to us talk about any of these topics, you can just switch the channel, listen to us another day. But we will probably cover topics surrounding sexual assault, harassment, domestic abuse, and eating disorders, and I'll try to make sure we do a little content warning before that happens as well in some cases, but just broadly, this is what we will be talking about.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, as we mentioned before, the topic today is diving into Riot Girl, which is this punk rock subgenre that is more of an overall movement than just a music genre, because it combines feminism, politics, and music, and as well, it can also encompass style and fashion and sound overall. And this began in the early 1990s in specifically Olympia, Washington, USA.
Yeah, and I think a big reason why this movement started was because of the state of the general punk scene beforehand, which was, you know, a lot of
men,
yeah. to say the least, where a lot of violent mosh pits, just a competition to play the hardest, yell the loudest, those kinds of things that were only really done between other men as a way to gain respect from other men. So women were definitely pushed to the outskirts of that.
You could also see with a lot of the household like punk names that everyone knows of, like the Sex Pistols or the Ramones, Green Days, the Misfits, Blink 182, the Clash. Like, these are all male punk bands, and mm-hmm. never are they encompassing like all female punk, or even just one girl member.
Yeah, and a big part of punk is just the anger behind it too, which men are often celebrated for, and they are very socially accepted to express that in a lot of different forms, even if they are very harmful to other people. And, you know, we're getting more away from that, but it still is pretty mm-hmm. that kind of thinking towards men and their anger. So there wasn't, and at the same time, it wasn't super and still isn't very acceptable for women to express that same human emotion of rage. And even at punk concerts or venues, women were often heckled or even assaulted in crowds and pushed to the back of the venues. So I think that really just indicated like this culmination of oppression in the punk scene did kind of culminate to this realization of a lot of women, like, we need a space for ourselves.
Yeah, being such a minority at the time too, because women weren't involved in the punk scene, or I mean, they would identify with punk rock, but they weren't really major voices in the local scenes, and it was kind of frowned upon for them to be front row screaming along with everyone, because at the time they were expected to be like good housewives and be silent and be someone's property kind of, mm-hmm. which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I think a big part of what Riot Girl music and bands did was try to tear down the existing idea of femininity, which DJ Coco touched on with, being objectified, but at the same time being expected to be really subservient and always being viewed through the lens of other, like, of the man, right? So of the male gaze. So it was really a cry for autonomy, for female autonomy, which was, yeah, another mm-hmm. big part of it.
Yeah, it was even kind of coined for Riot Girl being a type of third wave feminism. This was kind of just an overall movement that didn't just have the Riot Girl genre, but it began in the early 1990s of just women trying to expand social equality, civil rights, and mostly body autonomy, things like being inclusion for different races, classes, genders, identity, having choice over their own bodies. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, even though the Riot Girl subgenre, it we'll be discussing this another day, how there's controversy over how it didn't really create a safe space for other minorities, like people of color or queer people, for example. But
mm-hmm.
they did try for the overall movement of self-expression and autonomy of choice, though, which is still good.
Yeah, and I think another thing that I find pretty inspiring about the Riot Girl culture is that they are really for fighting against conformity. And I think it is very easy in the society that we live in to conform, because you are rewarded for it a lot of times mm-hmm. as a woman. If right. you do conform to that society, it really becomes like the self-fulfilling prophecy of, okay, yeah, if I wear makeup and look pretty, then I'm going to get this external validation, which will make me chase that. And then that, even that becomes this cycle. I think that goes for acting certain ways and behaving certain ways as well. So I think learning to fight against that and actually finding who you are as a person and not just trying to conform to this idea of a woman is very, very inspiring mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah, no, I see that too, because usually women are just men and women. It's always just expected, like, grow up, listen to normal music, find a husband, get married, have two kids, and mm-hmm. settle down. But then if you do anything outside of this, it's instantly taboo. And so even small things like women listening to punk music, it's like, what the heck? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're straying from the path that we decided for you as society.
And honestly, conforming as a woman does leave you a very, very small box to move around in. There's not a lot that you can really do that is accepted other than just maintaining this certain role. Like even, I don't know, even being funny, for example, like mm-hmm. being so funny, that's, you have to be a little confident. Outgoing, a little confident or boisterous yeah. in some way, like showcasing. I mean, humor is about intelligence too. So like those things go hand in hand. And I know, you know, you don't want your housewife to be cracking jokes at the dinner table kind of thing, you know? So I think obviously we are still, a lot of us are no longer in this housewife mentality, but I think a lot of that culture does carry on and taint our ideas today. And obviously we still live in a patriarchal society. So mm-hmm. I don't know where I'm going with this, but yeah.
Some personal opinions about
fighting conformity is going to be so liberating to as a human.
True. Yeah, so yeah. It's great that, for back to Riot Girl, that a bunch of these pretty prominent bands have gone against, I guess, conforming against what they're meant to be playing or meant to be doing, which things like are bands like Bikini Kill, Bratmobile, La Tigra, Luna Chicks, Heavens to Betsy, and there are still some to this day as well. I wouldn't say that it's to the level of the Riot Girl genre with the lyrics that they mm-hmm. follow and the general vibe.
And also I just wanted to note that Riot Girl is a genre that's connotated with a certain time as well, like a time period. So that was mostly in the 90s. And we don't have that same exact culture. So there are bands today that could be classified as Riot Girl, but they're still not the original Riot Girl, they might be more inspired or just considered female punk or something like that.
Yeah.
So just something to note. Yeah.
Yeah, because usually some of the common themes for back in the 90s were things like female rage, collective trauma, anatomy, sexuality, rape, domestic abuse, things like that. But things with like anatomy, we are moving slightly as a society for things like being pro-choice for women. So I feel like songs aren't really representing the struggle for anatomy, for example, because we are trying to collectively move towards women taking control of their own bodies. But there is some things like I've noticed that there are some influence from the Riot Girl scene. For example, Olivia Rodrigo. It's kind of a far stretch, but
that's not the first person I would think of.
It's definitely not the first person, but she has one song called Obsessed, and I feel like it's kind of bandwagoning on this very trendy female rage that might have been picked up from the Riot Girl female rage and mm-hmm. punkness.
I think there is definitely a resurgence on TikTok within the past few years of this notion of female rage. And mm-hmm. even though it is trendy, I think it is a very important thing to think about. And it is very tangible that it is still not accepted. And I do have a real life example of this just recently. I was watching a horror movie on Halloween with some people. And one of the women in the movie, her boyfriend just got murdered, so she was screaming and crying, which is obviously a very valid reaction. And one of the people that was in the room was like, oh, that's attractive.
What?
And it's like, ooh. We definitely could unpack that a lot, but there it is again, just looking through the male gaze at a woman as this is what her purpose is supposed to be. To me, it is the view, right? It's something to look at.
Yeah, to satisfy me instead mm-hmm. of her actual emotions.
Yeah, and saying, oh, that's attractive when you see a woman sobbing or getting so angry is just, I don't even have the word for it, but it just infuriated me that you're not even seeing them on an eye-to-eye level of equality in any way. You're like, okay, yeah, that's unattractive to me because I like it kind of ruins the fantasy of her that you have in your head.
Right. Huh.
So I just wanted to mention,
yeah, just throw like, that out there.
Even though female rage is trendy, it's still very pertinent to
yeah.
current day.
I don't know how I feel about the trend of female rage.
Why?
So. I don't know. It's, I guess it is a space or finally a time where women can express their emotions in something that they normally can't do. But I don't know. I feel like the fact that it's kind of a trend is kind of not
but
capitalizing.
Why?
But why?
Why is the something trend feels, bad about it?
I feel like it, well, because trends come and go. I don't feel like something like that should be a trend, but it should stay with us. But I feel like it.
But the
it
thing
isn't.
Is, like, you could say Riot Girl was a trend in a way, too. And trends. Yeah. Political trends or I don't know, like social trends also don't tend to be trends. They tend to highlight actual issues that we're facing, and maybe it's more popular because we see like very obvious examples of it in the media. But I don't know, I was reading this interview with Bikini Kill. I think it was with Kathleen Hanna, who's the main singer of Bikini Kill, and she was asked how she feels about a lot of feminism becoming mainstream, and also because of that it does get a little watered down. But she said that she really thinks it's a good thing that at least it's getting, the general ideas are getting out there and more accessible for people,
yeah,
so they can access it and then learn more and get gain some sort of consciousness in that.
Yeah, so yeah, arena. Like a little accessibility is better than no accessibility.
So I don't think it's bad that it's a trend, but it depends on the kinds of trends.
Right, because wouldn't you say there's also some modern Riot Girl, though, to this day? Because
I think so, yeah.
We've also touched before about the feminist political group in Russia called Pussy Riot.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're really influenced by the Riot Girl movement.
I mean, yeah, they are super nonconformist and demanding autonomy over their bodies and for all Russian women. So yeah, I think there are definitely a lot of people who take inspiration from Riot Girl, but just during my research, I was reading like Riot Girl is kind of designated for a specific time in music as well. But I think we can go ahead and probably just say like, oh yeah, this is Riot Girl.
Yeah.
Like that's where the genre is coming from.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like the lyrics of what they're trying to say has been watered down so
far.
Yeah,
I think in some bands might be doing that, but I think there's a lot of really good bands out there that are still like pushing that message and yeah
later on we're gonna be playing some Soft Cult, and they're Canadian and a little bit of Riot Girl, so definitely still some bands sticking around and coming into the scene. So but what are some of your personal thoughts about this Riot Girl DJ Star?
My personal thoughts, well, before we get into that, I do have a little transition that I wanted to mention about Bikini Kill's definition of Riot Girl, which I thought was pretty good, like how they saw Riot Girl as a helpful tool for young women. They basically said that they wanted girls to create mediums that actually speak to us, because back then punk was pretty much made by men for men. And also they're saying in every form of media we see ourselves being slapped, objectified, silenced, trivialized. And trivialized is like a big one, I feel like, that doesn't get talked about much. And they said that we need a safe space to be created for girls where we can open our eyes and reach out to each other. So what I think about Riot Girl is that we definitely need time and space to talk about our experiences in the patriarchy with each other, because oftentimes when you talk to it, like with a, like when you talk about it with a man, it's just really not going to be validated or heard in the same way.
Yeah, it doesn't really resonate.
It doesn't resonate. And sometimes it's even just discredited or brushed aside or made into this debate, when in reality, that is an experience. Like, for example, I don't know, a lot of kind of, how do I say this? There's just a lot of small kind of aggressions that women still do face in society, and they're not small in the way that we experience them all the time. So it ends up feeling like this really big.
They just happen all the time that you usually deflect it and then never really consider.
Mm-hmm. And if you bring it up to some people, they might say, oh, like that's just kind of being dramatic that you care about that. Or yeah, like, why are people so normal. Sensitive?
Yeah.
Which is really frustrating.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's why it's good that for Riot Girl that they are discussing topics that are usually quite taboo to talk about. I don't think people really have talked about sexuality or rape or domestic abuse, especially in the past or now. Like, you don't really hear much about domestic abuse, especially, or people don't want to open up about that.
Yeah, and I think a big important side of that is being able to talk about that in a space where you're not going to be invalidated. Like, this is taking it back really far, but I did watch a documentary in Canada when women were trying to petition for more rights. I'm not sure exactly what the name of the piece of legislation that they were trying to introduce, but I do remember that they were talking about how like a certain statistic of women were getting domestically abused in their homes, and they were saying this to the House of Commons, and as they said the statistic, all of these men laughed.
They
thought it was funny.
Really?
And they're like, I don't beat my wife, do you, Bill? And they just laughed and laughed and laughed, and the women were like, this is not a laughing matter, like this is really serious.
Jeez.
Most women are getting, like a lot of women are getting beaten up,
right,
and abused.
And it's not something
regularly.
To like, make a joke.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. But I think that just kind of can bring it back to how it's so important to be able to talk with each other and strengthen each other before bringing it into the...
Yeah.
Or while bringing it up into the mainstream society.
Yeah, because like the Me Too movement, for example. Mm-hmm. Because one small story, you know, like people scoff or just look upon, like brush aside. But then if you have multiple collective stories from all over the world, like of course people have to start listening and notice that there's a pattern going on here. So yeah. We are straying from
well, I mean, we just kind of want to